We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on the Total Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome my special co-host, Dave Chemetsky. Dave, how are you, man? And I know you're excited about our guest today.
Yeah, I'm doing really well. I'm really excited to speak to Mr. Martin and hear about his new book, as well as the other books that he's written.
All right, so let's introduce him.
Okay, so today's guest is going to be William Martin, who's written a number of top-selling books about historical thrillers, or maybe not. Maybe they're actually true. We'll have to ask him how he's come up with some of the great ideas. How are you doing, Mr. Martin?
I am doing very well. How are you?
Doing well.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, let's go to the first question.
Okay. Well, to your new book that's coming out, December 1941, is a time that will live in infamy, right? But the book, it actually tells about some of the backstory that might or might not have happened during that time. Would you share with us a little bit about the backstory of the book?
Well, it's a World War II thriller set in the 2 weeks after Pearl Harbor. Begins on the day after Pearl Harbor with an FBI raid on a compound in Southern California that you can still visit. And it's kind of a creepy place. Where neo-fascists used to drill and hang out down in one of the canyons. And in the book, the FBI sweeps everybody up and takes everybody off to jail, but one guy gets away, and he's the one they should have caught because he's the one whose job is to get himself to Washington, D.C. and shoot Franklin Roosevelt on the night he lights the national Christmas tree. That's a great plot. And that all hit me with like a bolt of lightning in the side of the head one night when I was in the movies watching the film Darkest Hour with Gary Oldman as Churchill. Yep. And Churchill's on the phone to Roosevelt and he's saying, "Oh, please, can you help us?" And Roosevelt is saying, "I'm sorry, I really can't help you because American politics ties my hands." And I watched that scene and I watched Churchill slump in despair. And I thought to myself, in a year and a half, those two guys will stand on the south portico of the White House and light the national Christmas tree as an expression of alliance between the United States and Britain. And it will be a totally different world, but what a target they would make. And that was the lightning strike, the idea that these guys could be such an amazing target for just a few minutes on the south portico of the White House on Christmas Eve of 1941.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about just the storyline and all that. It's just so creative. But you're a history buff, so that's why you love doing this, right? Because you love to make history exciting for people that might not really want to read a history book, but this is where you make it come alive in those stories.
Well, history is an adventure, you know, and there's a lot to be learned from history. And I think that when I sit down at this desk, at this computer, in this office of mine, I always think that I am sitting down at a time machine. And where do I want to go? And who do I want to meet when I get there? It's a great way to conduct my daily business. And I always have characters that I love, characters that I hate, characters that I love to hate. You know, I did a book about Lincoln about 10 years ago, and John Wilkes Booth is in it. If you talk about somebody you want to love to hate, there he is. And in this book, I had the opportunity to not only capture this suspenseful plot, but to take you into the mindset of our, well, in my case, my parents, of that generation right after what at that point was the most extreme shock that had ever been delivered to the American people. And how are they going to react? And I was able to capture the world of America in those 2.5 weeks, a world just awakening from the Depression, from the excitement of watching the war from a distance and now suddenly having to face it straight on. And it was quite an enjoyable experience for me to get myself back there while I sat in this room.
Well, that was one of the questions I had. Well, when you were just mentioning that there's the people you want to get to meet, who's some other people in history that you would love to meet? Because you've already written about the American Revolution, or at least one thing about the American Revolution, the Civil War, and now World War II.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure that out right now. Who would I like to meet next and hang out with next and look in the eyes? Because one of the things that I try to do in these books, The Lincoln Letter, or a book called Citizen Washington, in which George Washington's whole life is told through the eyes of 12 separate narrators who tell their own story in the process of telling the story of Washington's life, or in the case of December 41, FDR, Churchill, Humphrey Bogart makes a little cameo appearance in this book. So does John Wayne briefly at the beginning, because the book begins in Los Angeles. But I like to meet human beings or giants who seem to be giants today, who were human beings as well. One of the great moments for me as a writer was the first scene that I wrote in The Lincoln Letter, where the main character looks Lincoln in the eye and Lincoln starts telling a joke. And all of a sudden you're sitting down with Abraham Lincoln and you're right in his world. And showing the humanity behind the greatness is always my objective. And there's a reason for that. Where we sit in history today, we often find ourselves inclined to say something like, wow, look at the 18th century. There were only about 3 million people on this North American continent at the time. 3 million white Europeans on the North American continent. And out of that group, we got Adams and Jefferson and Hamilton and this one and that one and all of the other giants. And why can't we get that today? Well, they're out there today, I think. And they're within us as well. The seeds, the same seeds of greatness that germinated in those people can germinate in us as well. And that's the big idea that I try to convey in my books. And good storytelling of all kinds, particularly good historical fiction, should give readers a cause for hope. If they could endure what they went through, we can endure whatever lies ahead for us as well.
So true, because history repeats itself. Where do you see history repeating itself today? What's happening in our country?
Well, when I wrote this book, one of the things that I talked about was the with a couple of the characters who are members of the first America First movement. I talk about our isolationism, our desire not to be part of the wider world. And the wider world is coming closer and closer to us. And, you know, finally, Pearl Harbor is bombed and we have to confront the military might of fascist Germany on one side and Imperial Japan on the other. And that sense of disengagement from the world is something that I think was dangerous then and could be dangerous today. It's more important for us to be citizens of the world. And there are other things that parallels we can draw between World War II and the present, but that's one of them that jumps out. And the other thing that jumps out, the big theme of the book, of course, is that ordinary Americans find their spine, the steel in their spine, when they get wind of the fact that there is this murderous German agent out there somewhere and somebody's got to catch him. And the authorities aren't doing a very good job of it. So these fictional characters that I have created will find ways, as I like to think Americans always do, to find the solutions to the problems that confront us.
Well, that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you, is in all of your books, it really is that missing piece that we should pay attention to different, you know, either the notes of the Constitution or the Lincoln letter. We don't know what was in the letter. And even here, could something like that have happened? Yeah, maybe. Because people had paid attention. I haven't yet read that your new book. And
right. Well, one of the things that I always try to do is present you in one of these novels with a plausible plot, something that could have happened. And in December 41, I have a German assassin who's going to try to shoot FDR and Churchill on Christmas Eve. And the first thing I did after I got that idea in the movies was to go to the library and find what turned out to be a very obscure book by a Secret Service agent in 1946 called Riley of the White House. Riley was Franklin Roosevelt's elbow man. That's what they called him, because he was always at FDR's elbow, ready to pick up the president, who could not walk, pick up the president and run if he had to, if trouble came along. And Riley talks about how concerned they were in the first 2 weeks of the war with the possibility of a paramilitary German attack, like numerous soldiers who had been infiltrated into the United States attacking the White House, or even perhaps airdropping onto the White House. That was the army that was worried about that. That's why they put machine guns up on the roof of the White House. But Riley and the rest of the Secret Service were concerned with that lone assassin, that guy who has the ability to get close and pull the trigger, the single guy. That was the one they were really worried about. And once I read that, I said, okay, this never happened, but they were all really worried about it. So it's going to make for a very plausible plot. And when you get to that point in the book where that German agent is out there on the South Lawn, or maybe he's out on the Ellipse, and you hear the Christmas carols playing in the background, and I capture the whole ceremony as accurately as it could have been captured. It's exactly as it unfolded. When you're out there with me at the end of the book, you will be saying to yourself, oh man, I hope he doesn't kill Franklin Roosevelt. We're in big trouble if he does. So.
Wow. Oh, it's such great information. Where can we find information on you and purchase your book? Where can we go?
Well, you can purchase my book at your favorite bookstore, whether it's Barnes & Noble or your favorite independent, and of course, at all of your online sites as well, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, et cetera, et cetera. You can visit my website, which gives you, in this case, options for the purchase of the book. And also, if you're interested in the history that I'm writing about, there's a historical timeline on my website that captures for you many of the big events that were happening in December of 1941, including the lighting of the Christmas tree, which is an amazing piece of YouTube footage with a British newsreel camera right next to Churchill and FDR as they interact with one another and give their world famous speeches on that Christmas Eve. Speeches, of course, that they would never have gotten to give except for my fictional characters stopping that damn Nazi from doing what he's going to do.
All right. Fantastic. And Dave, where can people check you out?
People can check me out on davidshemetsky.com and my podcast, Peace, Love, and Bring a Bat.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. Thanks again, William. What great information. I'll tell you, have any of these been considered to be movies yet, to put together into movies?
Well, they've been considered, and I've had my options and taken a few of these novels pretty far down the road, but none of them have made it to the big screen as yet.
Maybe this one will, or you never know. What's your next historical thing you're going to write?
Well, I haven't quite settled on it yet, but you'll be the first to know when I do.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks again.
Thank you.
You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.